I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome Sheila Walker Hartwell. Sheila started Hartwell Planning in 1996, a fee-only financial planning firm, initially to help divorced and widowed women. Over the years, Sheila developed long-standing relationships with clients who are high-net-worth couples, small business owners, divorced individuals, and seniors. Sheila is a citizen of Canada and the United States. She has a BA from University of Western Ontario in Canada and an MBA in finance from Columbia's Graduate School of Business in New York, and a certificate of financial planning from New York University's Center for Finance, Law, and Taxation. Sheila is a frequent speaker about comprehensive financial planning issues. She's also the author of Lift the Burden of Debt, How to Climb Out of Debt and Stay Out in 10 Easy Steps. Earlier in her career, Sheila was a senior vice president in advertising for Fortune 500 companies. Sheila, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I know we've been friends for a long time, and I know that you have a really fascinating background. I wondered if we could start off by you talking a little bit about your background and kind of how you got into what you're now doing.
Sure. In fact, the reason I am a financial planner in the way, in the business model we have today, is I think because of my background. Without belaboring it in too much detail, when my children were 6 and 2 and we were living in the suburbs, their father had a change of heart and left me to figure out how to financially, emotionally, parentally support 2 little boys. I was scared to death. I didn't think I was ever strong enough to do such a thing, but I started to wing it. And step by step, I moved the children to New York when they were 8 and 4 and started on a ladder for a professional career, first in public relations and then advertising. Fast forward, we succeeded. The children did get to go to private school here in New York when back then it was really required. They went to boarding school and graduated from universities without debt. Probably couldn't do it today with the change in our education, but back then, gratefully, we were able to. But I learned a lot along the way. So years later, when divorced and widowed women started coming to me, I both had the emotional experience, but I had the background. And I had just completed my MBA at Columbia at the time, a year or so before, and it was an ideal time to start this business. So that's a little bit about the background and how Hartwell Planning came to be.
You know, it's interesting how certain situations that are forced upon us can really catapult us forward and to achieve astounding results.
Oh, I think that's so true. So often where we grow and do the most is where we're not always comfortable in our skin. That's certainly been true with the business all along. There's been several places where we've hit or got stuck at a ceiling, and it hasn't been comfortable, but we've plowed through it, and it's been wonderful in the long run.
We're going to come back to that. I wondered first if you could talk a little bit about why financial planning is so important, and maybe talk about it as it relates both to individuals and to business owners.
Sure. I should clarify one thing. We are a financial planning firm, and when we say fee only, that word is sometimes misused. We have a very different business model. We don't take money under management, and we don't sell investment or insurance products. We do the planning, and people come to us for that reason. They may have a good financial advisor, but they want someone with an unbiased view. Now, having said that, the reason it's helpful for our clients is they're often professionals. Today, I think almost all our clients are, but they are very good and often talented at what they're doing or have done through their careers. But financial planning has not been central focus for them. So at some point, they stop and say or ask some tough questions like, you know, will we ever be able to retire? how are we going to educate our children at this point? Should we buy that second home or should we sell that second or third home? And these are questions that frequently financial advisors don't want to get into, simply because they focus on the investment piece. Not that that's not important, but in a comprehensive plan, it's one piece of many.
So how is it that business owners who are responsible for monitoring their P&L and their balance sheet pretty much day to day, if they're doing a good job, how is it that they might be missing pieces of the financial planning puzzle?
Well, that's a really good question. I went back to school, as you read earlier, to get certified as a financial planner. And while I had a lot of experience both winging it and being a businesswoman for many years, I learned a lot. A lot that we don't get in the news or reading or naturally look to find. So someone who does that professionally uncovers in the process of doing a financial plan a lot of things that you may be uncomfortable about, but you're not sure you know where to begin or how to resolve them. You're not even always sure about the right questions to ask. And a plan, the process uncovers all that and, of course, answers the issue so that you end up with a roadmap that you know what to do, how to do it, and to be successful. With your business, if you're a small business owner, you may be very good at the product or service you're providing, and you know about P&L, but you don't always know about your own personal issues on how to resolve those.
So what are some of the mistakes that business owners often make in financial planning?
They have a mindset that they're probably going to work forever. This is particularly true of professionals like attorneys or doctors. And they don't really stop and think about putting a plan in place that over time, and certainly into retirement years, they may replace the number of hours they're working with an income from that will happen without them having to work those hours that they currently are. That's particularly true of doctors, and it's later on in their 50s or so that their wives drag them in here by the collar because she's not comfortable and is concerned about the future. The other thing is business owners get very one-pointed in their business, and that's one of the reasons why they're so successful. They're visionaries in their business. But as far as looking at the various issues, they may or may not make good choices for purchasing or selling real estate, for example, or getting into business deals. The business deals may be very successful, but the ones that affect their personal planning may not be. For example, one client that we're working with, he owns his own practice, which he's now retiring out of, and also owns the office. It's on a street entrance, on a major street in New York, and he owns it outright. The questions come up, should he sell it? Should he lease it to another doctor practice and have it as a source of income as he retires? They thought they would just sell it. As we did our homework, it would be better for them to lease it. It would be a major source of income, and real estate in New York is something that I think was not, the value of it will not go away anytime soon. Things like that help the client transfer from where they are now to where they want to be in 5, 10, 15 years from now.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about people who are business owners or professionals thinking that they're going to work much longer than they might end up working and not planning for how they're going to derive income if they start to scale back on their working hours. Another facet that we hear from a lot of our guests on Smashing the Plateau is the inability to delegate effectively so that the business can start to self-manage, so the business can run without the business owner being present 40 hours a week, or maybe 24/7.
Or 80, I was going to say. That's a key issue. Often a visionary is probably the best person to provide that service, but the business can only grow so far. And if they're either going to have to bring in other people and train them to do what they do, or scale back in such a way, or build the business, and we help clients with that too. I'll explain in a minute, but the words are succession planning. Build the business at some point in there, when it's very successful, towards attracting buyers so that the sale of it permits them to move on to either, you know, a new career or volunteer work or whatever they want to do. We don't actually do the succession planning. We bring in professionals to do it, to join the team of advisors that we put around each client. But that's a key issue. And frequently, people who've started their own business, rightfully so, they have a feeling of great pride in what they've done, but they're not objective. Usually not objective when it comes to succession planning. So we can help guide them through that process to an optimum sale that is in their best interest. The other thing that they do, and we help them just through the planning process, is as they become less essential in their own businesses, what are they going to do next? And they can't just let go until it's replaced. So it really requires often a professional such as you, David, to come in and guide them to that point where they can successfully walk away from it, not just emotionally, but also optimizing the growth of the business that it is so that it can go into succession planning or onto its next stages with them less involved.
Right. And the truth is, succession planning is important whether you're talking about selling a business or passing it on to another generation, or structuring it so that as the owner or creator, you're able to derive income from it in perpetuity.
That's a really important statement you just made, and that's correct. And even a visionary who started the business can't just walk away. They have to train or educate and inspire, if you will, people to walk in their shoes. And that in itself is something that often the entrepreneur is not real good at. It's very hard for them to let go.
It's a real challenge. It's a real challenge.
I bet it is. Yeah, and you do that. I think I've seen that. And then we also guide them to, if they're going to walk away from the business, such as doctors who no longer want to practice, or for whatever reasons aren't going to, sometimes it's their malpractice insurance has just gotten over the top or whatever. One of the things in succession planning is, what are you going to do next? Because we're living much longer today, and we haven't planned mentally to do that. And there may be 25 or 30 years after we let go of a business or retire, where we have fulfillment lives to fulfill. And so it's also important, are we going to start up another business? Are we going to get involved in leading things using the skills and success that we've had from the business in another area? And they often require coaching or some sort of leadership to go forward and do that well.
Let's actually talk a little bit about leadership. What do you think are some of the key ingredients to great leadership?
I'll speak for myself. I don't think of myself as some sort of monumental leader, but more of a visionary with a business. But I have come into places similar to what I just described in my own business, where the business was getting sort of stuck because my leadership or my running of it, I couldn't let go to let it expand. I'll give you an example. You mentioned earlier that I published Lift the Burden of Debt. I had initially and ongoing many clients who came to us because they had debt. And because we don't take money under management, we don't need a certain asset base. But it was holding us back because the time, our fees were going up pretty fast, and the amount of time to help these people for the amount of fees wasn't making sense. And I wasn't willing to let go of it because there was a sort of ethical obligation to help, because that's part of what the business had been started with. And it was actually a coach that I went to see, who is fabulous, who said it like it is and said, drop it, get over it, just drop it. You have much bigger leadership to do with the new business you're bringing in with multi-generational clients, drop it. And I couldn't quite do that. And she convinced me she said, just do a brief workbook that would just be, you know, an iBook, and you could sell an ebook, and you could just make it available online for a small fee. Well, what came of it was an actual program that I wrote over 2 years of weekends called Lift the Burden of Debt. And it was the steps to help people walk through what we used to do with them. And by letting go of that, it freed me up to focus more on what more we do now, which is some three-generational planning, looking at grandparents, parents, and young but grown children. Excuse me. And I guess your question about leadership, I guess there's different kinds of leadership, but a really good leader would have probably let go of that sooner than I did.
It's very hard to do for yourself, and you've actually touched on another great point that we talk about a lot on Smashing the Plateau, which is the value of help when you get stuck. Right? So you mentioned a coach as an example.
This was a business coach who's fabulous, in my opinion, but she's as blunt as I am, and or more so. And she works with COOs and CEOs who have hit or want to do more or want to change jobs or whatever. And she was really helpful to make me see that what I would not give up on my own was something that I had really outgrown. And yes, I think this kind of coaching by really good professionals is absolutely key for every business owner to if they want to move ahead.
I think it's true, actually, for most people who are in leadership roles, that it's not just about what you do yourself. It's about who you surround yourself with, your team, your resource providers, your coaches, your mentors. These are themes that we hear repeatedly, and I think they're really important.
They're absolutely key, especially if you have a business partner or a team or a board that are running the business. I think they all become, in many respects, resources and mentors. I mean, even if you look at major corporations today, if you notice, it's CEOs of other major corporations that sit on their boards. I think if we're going to be successful, we have to rely on that. Which goes back to some of our clients who have been doctors and lawyers, et cetera, and they have relied on themselves. And I think that's a limitation. We really have to let go of our ego and seek and surround ourselves with people that do things better than we do. And if we do that, then we'll grow. I'll give you an example. I have a very solid relationship with an investment firm. They do really good work, and the people in the firm are all CFAs, CFPs, or CPAs, or MBAs at least, and they're really good people. They send clients to us because they have a minimum, a very high minimum, before they can take clients on, but they respect what we do here, and they try and do for their clients what we do. They don't completely, because again, they don't get paid for it. They get paid for assets under management. But the relationship is valuable for both of us, for them and for me. I hear what they're doing for their clients, and they hear what we do, the process we go through with ours. And the intermix is advantageous for both of us. And building those kinds of relationships rather than seeing them as competitors is a very valuable tool to expanding a business.
Yeah, let's actually talk a little bit more about that. I think that a lot of people, particularly in service businesses, think that other people that are in the same space are competitors and they shouldn't hang out together, or they shouldn't think about sort of being in the same mix when it comes to business.
Well, that's a good conversation. That one could go on for hours. to give you a couple of examples from my own experience, this firm alone has referred maybe a dozen clients to me for different reasons. One of them is that their clients have children, grown children, who aren't behaving financially in a prudent way. And it's uncomfortable for them to take on their clients' children. And the clients, of course, want to get some sort of professional help that without it being insulting. And they've brought us in to help with the children. So it's the parents that end up paying my fees. So it becomes a family thing that, you know, we do multi-generational planning here on our own, but we collaborate in that sense with this advertising firm. That, investment counseling firm. That can be mutually advantageous for both. Their clients were thrilled in that particular story, and we were able to make a big difference. And to add something, we brought in a business coach because what they both needed to address their individual businesses that they were involved in and needed to be sort of pushed to the next level. So we also brought in a business coach. So the whole thing became a huge, giant step forward for this, for the kids. The kids are in their late 30s, but you know that it became a good thing. And you're right, this was not a competitive environment. It was a win-win for everybody.
Right. So even though there were three entities that were in an advisory relationship, you complemented one another as opposed to competing with one another.
Exactly. And I think if we look at all of them, several financial advisory firms actually do bring us in with their direct clients, just because they don't want to do what we do. It is time intensive, and they want to zero in on what they do really well, and that's investments and staying on top of them and monitoring all the various things they do with the investments, and we don't do any of that here. So they don't want to do what we do. So by bringing them a comprehensive plan that is much clearer than anything that they would do, because the process brings out so much more information than they would get. And it also is an advantage, for example, if they need estate planning, which most people think it's up to date and it's not. But they take the information in specific plans to an estate attorney, and they appreciate what we do because now they have more information than they would ever get from directly with the client. So it's an advantage for the client, but the client also gets better advisory care from all their advisors, whether it's an estate attorney or an accountant or, you know, a coach or whatever.
Sheila, is there one thing that you could say that focusing on that one thing has meant all the difference for you and your success in your business?
I think early on, I made a decision that I was not going to take assets under management because that isn't where I doubt I'm good at it. I don't know, but I never wanted to go there. I wanted to do more of this planning, which I knew I needed in my life growing up, as you heard, as a young adult with kids. But I think if there's one thing, is to put aside a sense of ego and really want to do the right thing. I'm tired of that language, but zero in on what each client needs and make sure it's done really, really well. And that has a boomerang effect on everything, not only coming back to Heartwell Planning, but as a referral. A natural referral. It's kind of common for us at the end of a plan. I get a thank you note in the mail. So I think that helps us be successful. And it's the opposite of what you'd think about going in, how can I make money, or how can I wind this up, or how can I be really time efficient. We get to be time efficient by doing it that way. Well, at least we have by doing it that way.
That's interesting that you mentioned that because I know people who are in professional service businesses where they feel that there's a conflict between providing great quality and trying to be efficient with your time so that you can, you know, to be blunt about it, so that you can make enough money to meet your needs.
Yeah, or more. I mean, make enough to retire or educate your kids or whatever you want to do. Yeah, and I don't want to be Pollyanna about that when I said that. I mean, we have to be practical. But I have spent more time on some plans than I ever thought I would, and we charge by the plan. And so if there's extra hours involved, it lands on my shoulders. And we've done it here because I cared more about getting the plan right than the few extra hours or the weekend that or whatever. In the long run, I could give a dozen examples or more where that has directly benefited me by more business or a very similar request for that kind of plan. You know, they mentioned it to somebody who almost identically needs this, not identically, but similar plan, and then we could do it very quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And would you say that that's a little bit of under-promising and over-delivering?
Yeah, certainly that. But I think quietly, I'm not sure initially when I had discovered that there was more to the planning than I anticipated and I hadn't budgeted for my time on that. In the end, I've discovered that, like I just described, similar to what I just described, they will refer someone where the plan is almost identical and I can just zap it out because all the planning and careful thinking had been put into the prior plan, and so we could do equally as good a job for a lot less time and the same fee.
Sheila, what were some of the things that you did that really catapulted your business to a new level?
Well, I think if I had to pick out one, it was working with that coach that time when she flatly told me to let drop all my clients that came to me with debt. And what came of it, as you know, was this program. And now when I do get clients coming in, I can handily sell them this program. It's more than just a book. It's a book, but it has a filing system. It has everything spelled out in 10 steps. That freed me up to spend more time and energy building a part of the business that I actually love doing, and it's the multi-generational planning. And it's much more lucrative in terms of us, but it's so rewarding to see all three generations come from a dysfunctional place, which usually they are when they come to us, into a harmonious plan where everyone has had a chance to speak their mind and let everyone else know what they want with the money and come up with a harmonious answer that's going to benefit everyone. So I think if there's one thing, that it's that.
That's great. So Sheila, what are you working on now that's really exciting?
Well, I think it's that. It's the multi-generational planning. I made a decision, and I'm working very slowly, letting go, I guess. We're just updating our website finally and doing all the things that need to do to the business. But I may start bringing in one or two CFPs and begin educating them on our process, which is unique to Heartwell Planning. It's developed over the years. And with the intent, I mean, once you train someone, you have no security that they're not going to take it and go, and you can't unlearn somebody. So my thinking is to teach people our process and help them launch their own practice once they've learned what we do. And I'm just now working towards how to figure that out so that it's a win-win for everybody.
That's really exciting.
It is exciting. Yeah, I haven't started it completely. I've started writing, and I start with writing. I've just updated my business plan, and that's included in it. It's going to be a process over the next 3, 4, 5 years. And I am excited about it because I think there are two or three other people in the New York area that do what we do, but none of them do exactly what we do. And that's why I think most financial advisors come to Heartwell Planning. So I'm excited to share what we've built over the years and in such a way that it will benefit others going forward, but
that's
not give it away.
Yeah, no, that it makes a lot of sense. And it's, as I said, it sounds very exciting. I wonder if you could mention one of your influencers that has been pivotal in your career.
Well, I think it's the coach that told me to drop the debt thing, as you can probably hear by now. Her name is Jane Cranston. She is an executive coach, and she's at executivecoachny.com. I hardly could recommend her. I see her occasionally still and get the same blunt answers that, you know, they kind of hit your ego right between your eyes, and you think, damn it, you know, but you come home and she's right. And so she has been a real helpful guide and counselor for me, because sometimes we do get caught up in our own little world, and we need someone like her to smash it.
That sounds great. Sheila, what do you do for fun?
That's a good question. I actually love what I'm doing. I spent so many years working hard to support the kids, and I didn't always love it. Advertising was not my calling in life, but it was lucrative enough to support us. Today, I have the privilege of doing what I love. And when I'm not working, I'm at the opera or the theater or the ballet or the Philharmonic, and I love it all. I love Off-Broadway in New York and subscribe to two or three theaters. And I have different groups of friends that I go with to each of them and love them all. And then I also am happily a grandmother of five little people. And one of my great pleasures is we don't give birthday presents anymore. We do presents. And so I've just completed one do present with a little granddaughter, taking her to the Matisse show at the MoMA and then to a Broadway play. And I'm about to get on an helicopter with a grandson and ride over New York for his birthday. So in between working and enjoying my own grown-up life, I also am busy creating memorable events with my little people in my life.
Wow. I'm sure they enjoy it.
Well, I do. It's a chance. Yes, they do, I think. It's a chance for me to create a memory one-on-one with a grandmother, which I hope, you know, I have memories. I'm sure we all do. At the time, we're busy living them. But later on, you look back and you kind of say, gee, that was fun. So I'm hoping that these will be that.
Sounds great. So Sheila, please tell listeners how they can learn more about you.
You can go to our website, www.heartwellplanning.com. It will be, if you go now, please revisit it in about 3 weeks, because the new one should be up and running. We offer an informal chat with anybody for 15 or 20 minutes on the phone. So if anyone has any questions or just wanted to chat about it, I'd be delighted to hear from anyone. And our phone number is 212-772-8654. I think that's where you'll find us.
That's great. We'll include this in the show notes. Sheila, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been financial planner Sheila Walker Hartwell. Thank you again, Sheila, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.